Chapter 4. My brain couldn't fathom what I was seeing at first, but after I took another look, I realized just what was happening. Ufe had pulled a huge piece of dirt out of the ground, and Inga used her air powers to create a miniature tornado around it that carried it through the air. The two little dragons breezed over to me and landed softly on the ground at my feet. Well, that was impressive, I chuckled, and I leaned down to pet their heads. I'd never seen the two of them use their powers together, but they were clearly stronger as a unit. They were so opposite they didn't even seem like twins most of the time, but seeing them ride the little dirt tornado together reminded me just how much they resembled each other. Inga hopped up and down, and I could sense she was eager to show me something. Ufe smiled, and then took a few steps back so he could smack the ground with his tail. At the same time, Inga created a swirl of air, and as soon as Ufe pulled a chunk of earth from the ground, she used her air to push his throw even further. My eyes widened as the dirt clump flew over the magical fence and further beyond. They were working together to develop new battle techniques, and I couldn't be prouder of them. I wondered just what else they'd be able to do, especially without my coaching. Well, usually I trained them all myself, but today the older dragons had free rein while I worked with Svas. Leaving them alone for a while had clearly worked out well, though, since they figured out how to use their powers together. Kaas walked over to me.
I wonder if their powers are similar to mine in Astas. What do you mean?
Ira asked, and her red eyebrows pulled together with confusion.
How could their powers be the same?
Not exactly the same. I simply mean, I wonder if they get more powerful together, like how Asta and I are more powerful now that we've so bonded with Rat. Oh, I see.
Ira nodded and turned back to the little dragons.
It certainly appears that way.
Is that any trick I see over there?
Prana's voice asked, and I turned to see the golden-haired sorceress walking toward us. Prana! Did Ramir let you in? I'm sorry, I didn't even think about the fact we were in his backyard.
When I didn't see you all in the main part of the shop, I figured this was where you'd gone.
Prana explained with a dismissive wave of her hand. You knew about Ramir's backyard?
Ramir and I are old friends.
She smiled.
Ramir made the dragon's amulets, and Inga and Ufe figured out how to work together.
Asta explained with a smile.
I see.
Prana nodded.
They appear quite powerful together. You two should consider working with one another all the time.
Well, I'm not sure if they like that. They're not very similar. But I do think you're right. They could benefit from more time together.
Well, let's get them some then, shall we? Have you already completed your mission in Vanaheim? It's been done. I have some time before Odin gets suspicious of my absence.
I'm not sure how you can stand to go to that terrible place. The one time the girls and I went, we were nearly trapped there because we almost didn't get back before the portal closed.
Vanaheim isn't all bad, but it does require a spell so you're not affected by their toxic air. I'm sorry, did you say toxic? Well, yes.
Prana nodded.
If you've been there without a spell, then surely you know about the air.
Oh, yes, we know about the air. That's why we were nearly stuck there. I didn't realize it was toxic, though.
What are the side effects?
Kaas pushed, clearly concerned for our well-being, though that journey had been at least a month ago, and none of us were ill from it.
I suppose toxic might be the wrong word.
Prana sighed, and she pursed her lips as she thought about how to phrase her next sentence.
I meant to say the air is intoxicating. Of course, there's a certain level of toxins that go into creating such an intoxicating effect, but it's not deadly by any means. No?
Kaas asked, and she breathed a sigh of relief.
Not inherently, anyway.
Prana shrugged.
What?
The Valkyrie asked, and her eyes went wide with even more concern.
Well, the air won't kill you, but it might get you so intoxicated you forget to eat or breathe, and then you could die. I'd say that's quite deadly.
Kaas muttered, and she pulled out a notebook from her bag to write something down.
Are you ready to go to Jotunheim?
Prana asked with a chipper smile. Yes, I believe we are. It shouldn't take too long either, since we know where we're headed.
We're going back to where you stole the eggs from, correct?
That's right, I nodded.
We should cast the invisibility spell now. That way we don't have to worry about hiding while we're there. That works out great. Otherwise, we'd have to disguise us all as frost giants again. Cass and I are stronger together, but the invisibility spell will only last a couple hours at most.
Oh, I can help with that.
Of course you can.
It shouldn't be too difficult, hmm?
Ramir said with a cocky smile.
I can give you 6 hours at least.
Thank you, Father.
Cass smiled.
Yes, thank you, Ramir.
Prena nodded.
Oh, well, let's get this done, then.
The old man cracked his knuckles and held his hands out for the girls to take them.
We mustn't waste the day. It's nearly noon.
I looked up at the sun to see Ramir was correct. It was nearly midday, and we needed to get this done as soon as possible. It had only been one night since we took out the frost giants and rescued the eggs, but if we hurried back, we might be able to find some good clues before anybody realized the eggs were missing. The deadline the dwarf had to make the weapons was still several months away, but it was a pressing matter, and one that required our utmost attention. We needed to figure out what the frost giants were up to, and what other information they had about the Elf King's plan. They knew about the dwarf and the weapons, so I figured they might have more information that would be useful to us. While Kaas, Asta, Prena, and Ramir performed the spell to make us invisible, I mentally and physically readied myself to go back to Jotunheim. The last time we were there, it had been eerily familiar in a way. We'd seen the bustling market, just like we had in Asgard, and I'd come to the realization that badness wasn't inherent in any realm. It was a learned behavior we needed to stop in its tracks. We'd recently visited the home of a dwarf, too, and found out they'd kept dragons as pets for centuries. It was a terrible act they passed down to their own children, and since that was how they were raised, that was what they did. It was difficult to think about, but it was something I was determined to stop. My fellow magically inclined friends were nearly done with the spell, so I quickly checked my sword and my dagger to be sure they were all in the right place. I always kept my dagger sharp, and I knew the blade of my sword was sharp because it was enchanted. Soon I'd need to commission a dagger that was the same way, but for the time being I didn't mind the old-fashioned way of sharpening it myself. There was something calming about pressing a rock to steel and hearing the sweet sound of them scraping against one another until the blade was sharp enough to cut the hair right off my arm.
And there you go,
Ramir said after the spell was done.
That should last you until nightfall at the very least. You'll be protected from the cold as well.
Thank you, Father. We appreciate your assistance.
It's no trouble, my child.
Ramir smiled at his daughter. As soon as this spell was done, Bla opened a portal for us to enter Jotunheim, and we all linked hands and stepped through the swirling air into the realm of the frost giants. I immediately knew it was cold because I could see my breath, but because of Ramir's spell, I wasn't able to feel the frigid air that surrounded us. Bla's portal had brought us to a part of town we'd been in before, just past the bars. This was clearly the area of Jotunheim where the citizens who weren't well-to-do lived. The houses here were carved into the sides of the caves, just like all the others we'd seen, but they were much smaller, and even the few vendor booths around sold mostly food and necessities instead of the lavish goods of the large market in the center of the city.
Good job, buddy, I told Bla.
The little dragon nodded at me, and then he and Inga flapped their wings and took off ahead of us. Kaas picked up Ufe and put him on her shoulder, and Svas scurried up the length of Ira to nestle around her neck. I made sure we were headed in the right direction, and then I followed Bla as he led us to the tunnel we'd been in just the day before. We'd taken out several frost giants there, so I figured the bodies would still be lying on the ground where we'd left them for us to go through once more. We'd taken all the eggs and searched the place the day before, but we could have missed something then. If we couldn't find anything there, we'd do some more looking around. But for the moment, this was our best place to start. It was always strange to be invisible, since the warrior part of me was ready for a fight with anybody who spotted me in this kind of situation. but I had to remind myself the frost giants we passed by weren't able to see us at all, and the majority of them probably weren't even aware of what was happening. As we walked to the tunnel, I admired the beautiful blue ice cave that surrounded us. The entire city was carved into this mountain, and it was absolutely gorgeous. The faintest bit of sunlight shone through in random places where the tunnels connected further out from the mountain. But the real treasure was the deep and unique blues all around us. I'd never seen an ice cave until we'd gone to Jotunheim, and it amazed me that the people I'd considered my enemies for so long lived in such a beautiful place. Finally, we made it to the tunnel we'd been in the day before, and even though I knew nobody could see us, I placed my hand on the hilt of my sword before we stepped inside. Blar and Inger flew ahead of us, and I made sure I was in front of Asta, Ira, Kass, and Prena, just in case anything went wrong. The frost giants had a note from the Elf King to a dwarf, so I couldn't be sure what else they were capable of. For all I knew, they may have some dwarven-made weapons of their own. We stepped slowly and carefully through the ice tunnel so we didn't make any noise, but once we got further down to the entrance, my eyebrows pulled together with confusion. Where there had been several dead frost giants the day before, there was now nothing.
Where are the bodies?
I don't know. I shook my head. I was just wondering the same thing.
We were here just over 12 hours ago. The bodies should still be here. One of the accomplices must have come and cleaned it up.
Maybe. I nodded and gripped the hilt of my blade tighter, and then I carefully led the girls down the tunnel the rest of the way, until we could see through the large entrance into the room where they'd kept the eggs. The shelves on the walls were empty now that we'd taken the eggs for safekeeping. But unlike the day before, when that was all that was missing, there was absolutely nothing left. The desk was completely empty, and there were no bodies on the floor whatsoever.
I don't understand.
Kass whispered as she looked around the room.
I just said a moment ago.
Asta cocked her head to the side.
The accomplices must have come and moved the bodies. No, I heard that. But where's the blood? The blood?
Prena asked, and she looked around curiously.
I know it's not that difficult to clean up a body, but blood is warm and sticky when it's fresh. It should have stained the ice, yet I see absolutely nothing. You're correct.
Prena's lips pursed together as she took a deep breath and looked intently at the floor.
I see absolutely no indication that there was ever any blood here. Could they have cleaned it up magically? I suppose they could have.
The golden-haired sorceress nodded.
Though that would have been a somewhat complicated spell with how much blood I imagine there was. Yes, this whole place was covered. There were nearly 10 frost giants here. Then they would most definitely need a powerful sorcerer to clean it up. How many frost giant sorcerers do you know of? Several, at least. What about a dwarf? I hadn't considered that.
The blonde sorceress said, and she looked around the room again.
Though I suppose that would make sense. Dwarves cast very powerful illusion spells. They could be standing in blood right now and never know it if they've hidden it magically. That would also mean they'd be able to see us if they were here. Dwarves can see through most enchantment spells. That's true, too.
Kass nodded.
We should be careful. We don't know for sure that there was a dwarf here. You think the frost giants and dwarves could be working together?
That's possible. It's not something I'd considered before, but it's certainly not improbable.
What would the dwarves get out of such an arrangement?
I don't know exactly. I shook my head. But it's got to be something to do with the Elf King.
Do you think they want to overthrow him as well?
Kass asked, and her violet eyes regarded me with pure concern. They might. I sighed and rubbed the back of my neck as I looked around. I'm not sure what to think anymore. But even if the dwarves and frost giants are working together now, I don't see that lasting very long.
What do you mean? He means they're probably each trying to steal what the king has. Then why would they sell him the dragons?
Asta pushed, and her white eyebrows pulled together with confusion.
Or the weapons. It's easy to sell something if you know you're going to get the money for it, plus get the product back.
Oh, that's right. The frost giants and dwarves might each be after what the other has, too.
I'm not sure I fully understand.
Kaa shook her head. They're going to let the king do all the hard work of training the dragons and gathering them all up. But once everything is ready to go, they'll try to overthrow him so they can steal everything he's put together and use it for themselves.
You think the frost giants and the dwarves want to take over the nine realms just like the elf king?
It's certainly possible. I nodded. Though this is purely speculation at this point. But like I said, if they are working together for now, it won't last long if that's their true goal.
I don't understand why we all can't just live together peacefully. Aesir, frost giants, dwarves, elves, it doesn't matter.
Aira said with a small smile.
They all want more power. I suppose you're right.
Asta shook her head.
It's just so incredibly sad.
It's all right. I smiled and put my hand on her shoulder. We're going to stop them, and whoever else comes along after them.
You're right.
Asta nodded determinedly.
We need to find out who was here. Yes, whoever was here knows about the frost giants we killed yesterday. Which means they know someone is under them. That could be quite dangerous. Do you think they'll be coming after us?
Kaa asked, and her violet eyes widened with concern. Well, I don't think they know who was here. But they'll be trying to figure it out for sure. We know about their plans now, and they aren't going to want us ruining them.
There's only one entrance and exit, and it leads out to the main part of the city. They could have gone anywhere. I may be able to help us figure out who was here, or at least where they went.
Well, that would be great. What do you need?
Caspir, would you like to assist? Of course.
Kaa smiled and nodded.
Give me your hands.
Prayna grabbed hold of Kaa's hands, and the council member started to mumble something under her breath. Kaa joined in the second time round, and a moment later the familiar magical sparkles swirled up around them. Kaa's red magic mingled with Prayna's golden magic, and as they spoke, it dispersed throughout the room until it covered everything inside. I watched as glowing footprints appeared on the ground beneath me, and by the time the two women had finished the spell, the entire room was covered with them.
That's incredible.
Aira breathed as she looked down at the frozen floor.
This won't tell us who they are, but we should be able to follow their tracks. It will only show who's been here within the last 3 hours, though, I'm afraid. That's great. Thank you.
All right, let's see. I said as I walked over to the entrance of the room and inspected the footprints.
Rat?
Kaa asked for a moment, and she appeared behind me.
What is it?
There are no footprints leading out. I shook my head.
What?
Suddenly, Blar appeared at my feet, and he sniffed the footprints and looked up at me. I know, I don't understand.
You're right.
Prayna said as she moved closer.
These are prints leading in, and only one set of them it looks like. Could the prints leading in be covering the ones leading out? I don't think so.
Prayna pursed her lips.
They would have to perfectly align for that, and it seems that would be impossible to do unless you knew exactly where you stepped before. Good point.
Aira cocked her head to the side as she looked at the ground. Well, let's follow the prints.
But they only lead in.
Asta frowned. I know, I nodded, but the best way to try and figure this out is to retrace their steps.
All right.
The girls all lined up behind me, and they each picked up a dragon so the floor was clear. Kaas had Uthe, of course, and Inga was with Asta, while Svas sat on Ira's shoulder. Blar allowed Prayna to pick him up, and he wrapped himself around her body. His back legs were hooked on her hip, and his front paws were thrown casually over her shoulder so he could lay his head on her chest. The little blue dragon seemed far too big for her to carry, but Prayna didn't mind, and she allowed Blar to nap on her as we looked around. I followed the steps leading into the room one by one, and the women trailed closely behind me. I didn't want to miss a single step, so I traced them exactly, and they led us to the middle of the room where the bodies had been, then over to the bookshelf, and back again, and again.
This is so odd.
Prayna shook her head.
We keep walking to the bookshelf.
The footprints lead right to it. Then they seem to come out from behind it.
Do you think there's something magical about the bookshelf?
I'm not sure if that's the case. I pursed my lips, but there's certainly something going on with it.
We should be able to see fingerprints as well. Yes, I saw one on the desk.
Ira pointed to our right.
Let's check the bookshelf, too.
At first glance, I didn't see anything there. No magic sparkles lit up the shelves like they did the floor beneath us. After a moment, though, Cass called out to the group.
I found something!
I walked over to where she stood at the side of the bookshelf and looked at the wall of the ice cave. There, just next to the ledge of the bookshelf, was a large handprint.